You are listening to South by Southwest Sessions.
Hello, everyone. My name is Athena Brentsberger, a science communicator focused in aerospace and astrophysics. And today I have with me the CEO and co-founder of Relativity Space, Tim Ellis. Hello, Tim. How are you doing today?
Hey, good, Athena. How are you doing? Excited to be here.
I am doing so great. Yeah, so excited to be here at South by Southwest with you. I would love for you to tell me a little bit about what Relativity is.
Yeah, of course. So Relativity is a company I founded 5 years ago. We're 3D printing entire rockets. So we actually build the world's largest metal 3D printers, the world's first 3D printing factory for aerospace, all the way up to building and designing our own rocket launch vehicles. So we have launch sites at Cape Canaveral, Florida, Vandenberg Air Force Base here in California, and then really a national presence in the U.S., with a long-term vision of one day building humanity's infrastructure on Mars. So I really believe this 3D printing technology is inevitable to be on Mars. And then even before we get there, we're really building the factory of the future for aerospace today on Earth, just starting with rockets.
That sounds so incredible. Honestly, I would have never thought of 3D printing a full rocket to like go to space. I mean, it really sounds like as if 2020 was a huge year for Relativity. So why don't you talk me through a little bit of some of the milestones you guys achieved to really set you up for the goals for the upcoming year?
Yeah, of course. So we're now, I can't believe it. 3 years ago, we were only a 14-person company. Now, as of this last year, we have 300 people. I'm a mix of full-time and contractors, but we've grown like crazy. We've raised almost $700 million to actually build this future. And last year was a really big year. So we started actually building the first rocket and printing it in our factory that we're actually going to fly to orbit at the end of this year. So not only is flying this 3D printed rocket going to be a huge milestone for Relativity, I'm quite convinced this is the biggest 3D printed object really ever flown in aerospace. It's a super prominent example of how 3D printing will actually be building this future. And so we've got our factory here in Long Beach. It's 120,000 square feet. We've got propulsion teams testing rocket engines out at NASA Stennis Space Center. So we have about a third of all of NASA Stennis under contract for the next 20 years. And so that's where we do all of our rocket engine and stage testing. But yeah, we're building these huge 3D printers. They can actually print up to north of 30 feet tall and 15, 20 feet wide. So we actually developed those 3D printers ourselves. And it looks a lot like, machines from Westworld, these really big robotic arms. It's really a whole new tech stack, though, for aerospace. I don't think people quite get yet. That 3D printing is not just a cool technology. This is actually a revolution that's going to change, much like going from gas internal combustion engines to electric cars and that whole new tech stack, or going from on-premise servers to cloud. That going from traditional manufacturing that really hasn't changed for the last 60 years in aerospace. Every single factory you walk into today in aerospace, it looks really impressive, but it's big fixed tooling. That's super expensive, building products with hundreds of thousands to millions of individual parts one at a time by hand. Automation really hasn't crept into aerospace. And that's where I really see 3D printing a whole product from a top-down perspective and building this new tech stack, which is what Relativity is leading. That really is the future. And we know it must happen for us to innovate more quickly and really see the future happen faster on Earth, but certainly to build on Mars.
Wow. I love that you mentioned Westworld because, I mean, it sounds like it really would be like science fiction, but this has become so much of really what our immediate future is going to be looking at, which is 3D printing in order to achieve some of the biggest goals that we look for in the future. And speaking of future, a big focus of South by Southwest this year is on the uncharted future. And I sort of feel like Relativity just fits right in there with some of the biggest concepts that originally were science fiction that are now becoming a reality. So in what other ways is Relativity innovating to essentially pave the way for the future?
Yeah, well, I really think it gets down to what 3D printing is. I mean, to me, it's actually just an automation technology. It's really a way that you can transform a 3D CAD file where you design your product. So whether it's, you know, this first rocket that Relativity is building, or much like Tesla, other products that we'll build on top of this 3D printing factory, you know, it takes this CAD file and turns it into a real-life product, mostly controlled via software. So we're able to actually build rockets that have 1,000 total parts when a traditional rocket has over 100,000. And so the part count consolidation means we also have less purchasing, less supply chain. We only have four raw metals for the entire rocket. So the supply chain is very simple. The number of processes we have to be expert in our factory are very minimal. So this is getting more to as you mentioned, the sci-fi feature. Like every movie or film, and actually started my career, I'm a hardcore aerospace engineer, but went to USC thinking I was going to graduate and hopefully be a screenwriter when I graduated. I switched to aerospace engineering at orientation, but I think what we're doing at Relativity is, you know, almost more inspiring to me because we're just making this sci-fi future a reality. And we've actually recruited, you know, a team that has the ability to do it. I mean, it's a lot of the pioneers of the private and commercial space industry over the last 2 decades that we've brought onto the team. And they've launched and landed and flown and docked at the International Space Station more rockets than anyone in history has really ever done. But now they're seeing 3D printing as this next wave of innovation because no one yet is tackling the fundamental manufacturing technologies. And 3D printing is that automation holy grail that will actually make this happen.
Yeah, well, speaking of essentially automation, also looking to the future, I think a big mission of Relativity and Vision has been to develop an interplanetary society. So can you talk to me a little bit about why you made that your mission and how you plan to achieve that one day?
Of course. So I actually started my career working at Jeff Bezos' private space company, Blue Origin. So I was first there. It was a very small company. I did a few internships and then full time for a few years. I was working on designing and developing rocket engines and did the first ever metal 3D printing at Blue Origin and ended up bringing the metal 3D printing program in-house. So that's how I got into rockets plus 3D printing. But that was 5 years ago. And at the time, I was super inspired seeing rockets landing, docking at the International Space Station. There were so many cool things happening in the private space industry. And yet, 13 years since being founded, SpaceX was the only company that was had this goal of making humanity multiplanetary. I strongly believe there need to be dozens to hundreds of companies doing this. That you know, all the animations of rockets taking off with people and landing on Mars were super inspiring. But then they would land, and right when the people walk out, it faded to black. So this is the world that I started Relativity in 5 years ago. And even though Relativity's founding mission is that we want to build humanity's industrial base on Mars, so we really believe 3D printing is going to build the factory of the future that one day will build all of humanity's industrial base on Mars. Everything from habitats to actually building other products on Mars, and then one day even building the first rocket parts on Mars to let us go off and do the next adventure, that there had to be a company that was doing this. Like if you're going to actually launch a factory to Mars, it has to be very lightweight, a small footprint. It has to use very limited human labor and a lot of automation because there's not going to be that many astronauts or explorers at the very first part of Mars to build a wide range of objects that they're going to need. So all of those North Star principles really defined this intelligent 3D printing factory that now Relativity is building. And so I know that this is inevitable and it must happen for that future to exist. And then as far as why that future should exist, like why should we even be going to Mars, especially in a year like 2020 when it's clear there are so many earthbound challenges that exist. And I think for me, it really comes down to what is actually the vision of humanity, like as a species. It's a really big question, but I think for me it's pretty existential. Like, what is all this living and dying about? And why do we create art? Like, why are we trying to improve? Like, what is humanity actually doing? And what are we all about as a species? And I just firmly believe that going to Mars and becoming multiplanetary really is a big part of expanding what it means to be a human being and maximizing our potential. I believe if we were sitting there here today having this conversation and a million people were actually living on Mars on a day-to-day basis, that everyone's life here on Earth would be fundamentally different. I think having a million people living somewhere else, just the new emotions it opens up, the new art, the new creativity. I mean, we're going to have the Amelie of, you know, long distance relationships with, you know, someone on Mars and someone on Earth, and it's going to be real. And these are going to be real, complex, you know, challenging, but human emotions that we're going to have as a civilization. And I just think it's the greatest adventure and really maximizes what it means to be human. We go against very challenging problems and somehow come out the other side often successful. And we have that grit and we have that perseverance. So I just say, why not? Like, I think it's really important that we do go for it, because we've really got this one life to live. And I think it's important that we have ambition and really push the boundaries.
Yes, I completely agree with you on that. And I love how many times you mention art. I almost feel like artists are really some of the biggest disruptors of the world. I mean, they are creating things that just really inspire the generations. And, you know, South by Southwest is really on this basis of an intermixing between creativity and technology. And I feel like relativity really plays that role. I mean, 3D printing in itself is essentially art. So what are your views about how creatives and artists may play a role in the future of space exploration?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, art is near and dear to my heart in many ways. So when I'm actually married to an artist that is launching her art on satellites and into space, and so we play in this intermixed world, you know, I myself was thinking I was going to be a screenwriter and go into film. Before I became a hardcore aerospace engineer. So definitely hardcore engineer, but I do feel like I'm an artist at heart. And I think it comes to this idea that, you know, has really characterized the way I see society building, which is, you know, Venn diagram of science plus art equals wonder. I think it just really creates this wondrous space when you have creativity, you have new thoughts, and, you know, wrestle with this idea of, you know, human emotion and like, why are we all here? And, you know, big existential questions. And what's amazing then about the engineering is actually making that happen in reality. Like, it's a feedback loop. And I can give one example. I actually, you know, I'm a big music fan, went to tons, I think well over 300 live concerts. So I've been to a ton of music shows. There was one particular show, Space Nectar, where he had visuals launching a space shuttle, you know, in the back of his visuals, and it was super inspiring. I was in college, I was doing my nuclear engineering homework, and, you know, this is the way I celebrated, like, actually, you know, doing it. And then I was able to launch a photo of me at that concert into space when I was at Blue Origin, and then gave it to Space Nectar. And then we actually licensed a song here at Relativity to use in one of our videos, that then he used some of the video clips in his live visuals. So I love this idea of an interplay between, you know, the arts inspiring engineers to really be ambitious and go for big dreams, and then being able to give that back to artists to then make better art to keep inspiring the next generation.
Wow, that is such an incredible story. I'm so blown away by that. Like, my first thought of the mix between art and science was on Pink Floyd held a concert at a massive planetarium. And I was just like totally blown away by that. Yeah. So I kind of want to get you to sort of like imagine what that first mission to Mars is going to be like when artists start to see that. Like, how do you feel like people living on Mars are going to really be inspired by that? How is that going to spark artists? And kind of a second question is, can you imagine what the first concert, I mean, you've gone to 300 concerts, the first concert on Mars is going to be like? I think that's going to be so epic.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of my childhood, like Xenon the Z-quel, like, I think people are underestimating just how much that will start to change society as we get artists in this space and people that can actually communicate and make it more relevant to the day-to-day people. I mean, I think, you know, certainly I have friends that are astronauts, and I'm sure you do too, and they're doing great work. And I think the people that have gone to space, you know, it's been a lot of science missions, you know, lots of former Air Force pilots, and these are the kind of two tracks that we currently have for people going to space. I think the more that we actually can make it relevant to you know, everyday people and people that, you know, really just want to know what does it actually feel like and why is it actually important to my day-to-day life. And for me, that does just come down to actually thinking about the future of human civilization and what are we all doing. And I also think it's a big platform, frankly. You know, it's how we operate at Relativity that, you know, especially through 2020, I think it's a big platform of going to Mars is also about taking the best of humanity there. So we have both a responsibility and an opportunity and a very visible platform to comment on social issues and make sure that we're actually improving systematic racism and breaking barriers down as we go to Mars and another planet and really just bring the best of humanity there and actually be thought leaders in what that looks like.
I completely agree with you on that. Like, I always refer to space exploration as sort of this umbrella that really unifies so much of just humanity. You know, we all sort of fit under that umbrella of space travel. And when we do venture out into the cosmos, that is done where we're all hands in hands, like every single nation. And yeah, I think that that's something really, really aspirational about what you just said. And right now on Mars, we kind of have like a robotic family out there for us right now, which I think is kind of fascinating talking about what you were saying, where essentially it's about getting there and setting up base camp, right? Like starting to sort of 3D print things while you're, once you're actually on Mars. I kind of want to like dive a bit into sort of the younger generations right now, because what you're doing is really creating this ripple effect throughout the younger generations. I actually work with students. I teach an astronomy class, and these students are learning how to 3D print and code at around age 8 and 9 years old. And to hear about what you're doing is just really so motivating for them. So how do you think the next generation and the kids of today are going to end up being sort of the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, and how they're going to be following your footsteps? How do you think they're really going to aid in the greater good of humankind, really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's amazing to hear. At that age, people are already getting access to these technologies. I mean, I think, of course, that's going to accelerate the learning. And yeah, for me, it's really about just making sure that the next generation is inspired to tackle these problems. I think it is a worthwhile challenge, because without more people doing it, it's not a certainty this is going to happen. I am quite convinced it needs to happen for this future of you know, maximizing our potential to exist. I think if we're forever confined to Earth, there will be a limited set of things that people can experience. And I certainly think we're at an inflection point. If we choose to do this as a society, and we have more smart people coming into this industry and actually making it happen, I firmly believe we can be on Mars in a very big way in our lifetime. We also, I'm worried, actually, like for me, it's less about an asteroid destroying planet Earth and worrying about that happening. Sure, it could exist, but the odds are very low. I think for me, it's more about what are the new emotions and experiences? And then the danger is, what if AI actually gets so smart that, you know, when you really think about the things that are hard about space travel, it's the fact that you're flying people and we're squishy and we need water, food, shelter, air, and boredom, frankly, are the things that actually make it difficult. And so once you can actually send increasingly sophisticated robots and perhaps even, you know, near sentient or like extremely intelligent AI, it actually becomes far easier just to beam the data in a few minutes over to Mars instead of constantly having to send people and certainly building the spaceships and rockets to actually launch robots there is easier than people too. So So I'm actually more worried about the rate of robotic and AI progress making it easier for people to not be the ones to go and do it. And I think for me, it is interesting for having people go. And so, you know, for the next generation, I think that's why now. I think that's why we have to do this now, because we're at an inflection point that if we don't, that I worry robotics and AI will actually overcome our ability to have people in mass be the ones to do it. We do need a lot more companies. And the fact that 18 years later, relativity is still only number two, and we're 5 years old, I feel a deep sense of responsibility for that. And I also think that's the core motivation behind making us an absolutely massive commercial success as a business, is that, you know, we'll get more and more resources to funnel towards making our 3D printing platform more and more advanced and start expanding into, you know, not just rockets, but other products that really need that increasing rate of innovation that haven't been able to benefit from it over the last 60 years due to the limitations of the current traditional manufacturing tech stack. And that's really how I see this playing out.
Yeah, well, I am so, so excited to sort of see this first launch that you had mentioned, which I believe you said it's going to be happening this year, right?
Yeah. We're building the rocket in the factory right now. So we've got several printers. They can actually build the whole rocket fuselage in less than 30 days. So that part is
wow. Wicked
fast. That traditionally would take over a year. And so, from a year to 30 days. And then each iteration and version we make will be a little bit better every time. And actually, not only that, it's actually we want to make it better. So each rocket we make that's a little bit lighter weight, we actually can then print faster, and then it's cheaper to build. So actually making it higher performance and improved will actually get cheaper and faster. And I actually see we're already doing this a little bit, but the smarter the design algorithms get, the more our rocket will actually start to look more like organic bone marrow, or, you know, very highly optimized structures that look extremely organic and strange and algorithmically generated, but these are actually just using the principles of nature to directly design what we're building. Then the 3D printed factory can just do it. It is digitally controlled. So in many ways, we're building the factory that will just interface with these smart design algorithms, you know, especially over the next decade.
That is so extraordinary, just the imagination of sort of a rocket kind of resembling something as organic as bone marrow. Would have never actually thought that before. Now a lot of rockets are made of like big, hunky, you know, metal, stainless steel, and I believe carbon fiber. And so what do you kind of see that as far as being sort of a beneficial way for sort of making space more down to earth, you know, more human-like, especially with everything you were mentioning about how the biggest thing is around the question of why we're here, where we're going, and where we came from? How do you feel like that's sort of an important role as making it more relatable to humanity?
I mean, I think being relatable is super important. I mean, we're here in Los Angeles. It's one of the greatest creative capital centers in the world. I think, turning our brand loose, frankly, to have more of these innovators play with it. I think there's probably a lot of people here in LA and globally that would love to tell stories about, you know, again, like Amelie on Mars, you know, or some other, crime story, like between, you know, Martian civilization and Earth, but it's not sci-fi. It's actually just the background. It's a totally normal future that we see. And I think telling these stories, really plugging in with more influencers, more people that can actually relate. You know, I'd love to have like a YouTube influencer come by and, you know, maybe there's a lipstick color that looks like our robots. And, you know, I think just, integrating it more to day-to-day life is really what's important, because it's actually not inaccessible at all. I think this is happening, and it's going to happen in our lifetime, and it's good for people to feel they can be a part of it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that is so incredible. I am definitely extremely inspired. I'm looking forward to this launch this year. I cannot believe it's such a big year. So Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and everybody here at South by Southwest. We're looking forward to that launch. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
of course. Thanks, Athena. It's going to be Cape Canaveral. It's going to be awesome. So thank you very much.
Awesome. I'll be there hopefully. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.